Points Rehab Interview Chair is the Vice Chair of the Legislature's Transportation Committee, State Senator Len Susio from the 13th Senatorial District. Senator, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning. Good morning, Senator.
Well, good morning. Good morning to you and Dan, too, Brad. But I wish it were a better morning following yesterday's vote. I don't know how good a morning it is right now.
Well, Representative Guerrero tells us this does not commit the state.
That's what he told us this morning.
What do you say?
Well, there's four different bills that were passed yesterday, each of which had a toll proposal in them. So the one that I know that Tony favored is one that basically calls for a study. And then the study is supposed to be presented to, the results of the study when they're done are supposed to be presented to the legislature. And if the legislature does not act on the study within 30 days after it's presented, it would by default approve the study. And that's, in effect, it's kind of like what we've been doing with the labor agreements all these years. If the legislature doesn't act, it happens. And a number of us objected to the whole idea to begin with, but in particular, that part of it means that the legislature can be passive about it. Once the DOT develops a study, whatever it presents will be deemed to be approved if the legislature doesn't proactively act to turn it down.
Well, why wouldn't the legislature want that? Why wouldn't they want them to turn it and just say, well, we accept the study? This is what I want. This is all I'm asking for. That's all. And Dan's
right.
Smiling, and he.
Well,
you know,
I'm going to tell you why. And Senator, I don't mean to cut you off here, but I just got another response from someone who was there who said there is a provision to have the quote unquote study on tolls, quote unquote, deemed approved if the legislature does not act on it in a certain amount of time. So, yeah, it does bring tolls to Connecticut.
Well, will they stop the legislature from acting on it then?
Well, here's the thing. It depends who controls the legislature. Obviously, the study itself won't be presented till next year. It's going to take some time to do. So whoever controls the legislature, let's say that it stays about as it is right now, and the Democrats continue to control both houses, by the House by only three or four seats, and the Senate, of course.
What if they don't, though? What if they don't?
Then you get tolls.
That's right. By default, if the legislature...
No. I think you misunderstood what I said.
Okay.
What I'm trying to figure out here, okay, is that the way you talk, it's just automatic. I mean, it's just automatic. That's how it's going to happen.
Well, Brad, this is how it's written, and correct me, Senator, if I'm wrong. So let's say the study is presented to the legislature next November.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Now, the legislature at that point... it's not in session, correct? So would it require a special session to be called, or if a special session is not called, the 30 days go by, well, you didn't act on it, we have tolls?
Well, if the tolling proposal is filed when the General Assembly is not in session, the clerks of the House of Representatives and the Senate shall refer the tolling proposal to the Joint Committee of the General Assembly having cognizance of such matters relating to transportation. In other words, the Transportation Committee, not later than 5 days after the first day of the next regular session. So, and the committee shall hold a hearing. So basically, it would be deferred until the General Assembly does meet.
Okay.
And that's when the clock starts ticking.
Okay.
Let's put it this way. If things don't change in the legislature, what probably will happen, the proposal will be presented and nobody will act on it because obviously it's so controversial. But by default, if nobody acts on it, it'll happen.
Yep.
And that's why they put it that way. They know if it remains very tight, they may not be able to win the vote. It might be a tie. Look, yesterday, by the way, it was strange. I walked into the committee and there was Senator Beth Bayh, who's not a member of the committee, sitting in the committee as a committee member.
Martin Luty put her on that committee because someone couldn't make the meeting.
That's right. Senator Cazano apparently couldn't make the meeting, and they knew that it was going to be a razor-close decision, so Senator Looney substituted Senator Bayh for Senator Cazano to make certain they had that margin to barely pass the thing. That's how close it was.
But we're supposed to trust these politicians, Brad, right?
Well, you don't trust them.
I don't. Well, there's another example.
That's an example. That's not the example I'm talking about, though, Dan, and you know it, okay? And you know it.
I've got the damn it doll here. Excuse me, Senator, as we go to a traffic break for just a moment, I need to release my frustration with the damn it doll.
There it goes. There it goes. There it goes. Boy, I'll tell you, this is really, this is turning into something. I have a feeling, and I've had it all along. I've had it all along that this is just not going to happen. Just like that. I think it's going to be a while, and I don't think we'll have tolls in the end.
Well, I believe, again, that's going to hinge on, first of all, none of these bills, of course, have passed yet. They just got through a committee. Right. So they still got to get through the House and the Senate.
That's right. That's right.
I was talking for about 10 minutes yesterday, just getting warmed up.
Senator, while you're getting warmed up, I hate to cut you here, but we have a traffic update. So hang in, and we'll get back
to you. We'll get right back to you. Okay, let's check that traffic at 747. Here it is.
The Talk of Connecticut, Bouvier Insurance Traffic.
91 South is closed in Enfield near exits 47W and 47E because of a rollover crash. There's a big backup behind that. In Hartford, there's a disabled tractor trailer. 91 Northbound near exit 33 in Southbury in the process of clearing a tractor trailer accident. On 84 Eastbound between exit 16 and 17, the right lane is closed. I'm Gary Lee Horn.
And coming up to 12 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, in the morning. Back to our discussion on the tolls.
Yes, Senator, you were just getting warmed up yesterday, you said.
Yeah, I mean, I was ready to debate this thing. I could have talked for a few hours myself, and I had a well-prepared, well-thought-out argument to make. But basically, apparently there was some understanding that we would have limited debate on this. So, I was only in the beginning of my argument and was told to kind of cool it a little bit. So the big fight's going to be in the Senate and the House, though. There's no doubt. The one good thing is in the Senate, there's no limit to the debate time. And definitely, I was trying to bring up, by the way, that everyone's arguing about the tolls, but no one has questioned the rationale for the quote, and I'm using the word in quotes, need for the tolls, which is predicated on this, these phony assumptions that Connecticut gas tax revenues are going down because of fuel-efficient cars. That's not true. The numbers are on the Department of Revenue Services website that contradict that argument, but no one who's proposing tolls seems to want to look at the facts. They just want to deal with this fantasy gas tax revenues going down because of more fuel-efficient cars. Moreover, and this is what I was really going to get into yesterday but was denied the opportunity, if you take a look at the presentations that have been made to the Transportation Committee in the last two years, they're all predicated on an outrageous plan for spending that is so wild and so out of control that it would break the piggy bank of anybody. I don't care. It's just, we're talking about...
Senator, hang in. I know you're warmed up, but we have a break coming up. The constraints of radio.
We'll be right back.
We'll get right back to you.
Right back. Okay, it's coming up to 10 minutes now before the hour of 8 o'clock in the morning, and we've got a feature coming up, and then right back with more.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Stocks are set to come under pressure again today, with investors unnerved by the prospect of a global trade war as China fired its first retaliatory salvo against tariffs of up to $60 billion announced yesterday by the Trump administration. Futures pointing to a lower open after the Dow Industrial skidded 724 yesterday. The Justice Department and AT&T traded legal jabs as a federal judge opened proceedings on whether the telecom giant's planned purchase of Time Warner violates antitrust laws. The Justice Department, which is seeking to block the $85 billion deal, says the merger could mean at least $400 million in pay TV increases. AT&T and Time Warner called the government's claims preposterous and dead wrong. In response to the Senate passing an anti-online sex trafficking bill that has the potential to seriously harm consenting adult sex workers, Craigslist has shuttered all its personnel section, even the platonic ones. That's Your Money Now.
You
wanted more local Hartford news during the day, and the Talk of Connecticut, WDRC, is here to deliver. Start every hour of your workday with the latest news about what's happening in Hartford with updates from Susie Pinto. Plus, enjoy even more during your day from Brad Davis and Dan Lavallo. They'll give you the latest happenings in Greater Hartford, and will follow up on the stories you heard first that morning during the Brad and Dan Show. The best local news from the best news team in Hartford.
Every hour, all day.
Only on the Talk of Connecticut.
WDRC.
Here's your On This Date update for March 22nd. The first Stanley Cup Hockey Championship game was played in 1894 in Montreal between two local teams. Following a prolonged drought, Niagara Falls actually ran dry on this date in 1903. And the Senate passed the Equal Rights Amendment today in 1972 and sent it to the states for ratification. Despite an extension of the deadline, that amendment was never ratified by enough states to become the law of the land. Born on this date, composer Stephen Sondheim.
Phone rings, door chimes, in comes company.
And Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
The great mime Marcel Marceau and...
Space, a final frontier.
Actor William Shatner. I'm Mitch Davis, and that's your On This Date update.
The Brad and Dan Show, the talk of Connecticut.
And it's 7:52, 8 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock on a Friday morning, the last show of the week, and it's a humdinger, as they used to say. This is something that's going to be very, very interesting. What do you think the chances are, Dan? I just want to ask you personally, for the Republicans to win this election.
Well,
I mean, I think they're close.
I think it depends on how the Republicans run the campaign. But Senator Susio, I can tell you right now, if the Republicans are out there pointing out that if the Democrats maintain control of the legislature, if you get a governor who is for tolls, be it Republican or Democrat, we are going to have tolls in Connecticut. I think that's a given, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And not only that, I believe if that happens, you're talking about an increase in the gas taxes and that tire tax that Governor Malloy proposed. I mean, the tolls themselves, even by the Democrats' own projections, aren't enough to cover the wild spending spree that all this is based on. For sure. I mean, they claim the tolls will bring in $700 or $800 million a year, but they're talking about increasing spending by $2 billion a year. So even the tolls aren't going to come close to paying for the wild spending that they're talking about. It's financial doomsday if this happens, because the tolls are only a small part of the increase in taxes or fees they're going to raise.
Now, on everything, how can this state survive with increases like this? You tell me, how can the state survive? And we still have to survive, and we still have to make it. How do we do it?
Well, I'll tell you what. Not only am I concerned about this toll argument, but I wake up this morning and I read the article about how we're bailing Hartford out yet again for hundreds of millions of dollars.
Absolutely.
How about $500 million plus? We're going to bail Hartford out $500 million plus.
Yeah, we're more broke than Hartford is, and we're bailing them out. I think Dan Malloy is leaving the state with a parting gift to us all. He's going to leave us with such a humongous problem that it's going to be extraordinarily difficult to balance the budget and pay for what we're doing. We're stuck with the CBAC agreement going to 2027. We're stuck with an outrageous spending plan for the highways and bridges that are going to break the state. And require not only tolls, we're talking another at least another 10-15 cents, I believe, in the gas tax, and then the $3 per tire tax that he talked about. You will be the record-breaking tax increases that were passed under Governor Malloy will be chump change compared to what's going to have to be done if this stuff continues.
Now, let me ask you this. I've been waiting for this, and you have just set it up beautifully. Do you believe the people of the state of Connecticut, when they vote, are going to vote for these same folks if this is the situation? And it certainly will be advertised. Don't you think that the other side has a pretty darn good chance
Well, first of all, the party registration, of course, gives the Democratic Party an enormous advantage.
Yeah, but there's the independent voters, too.
Yeah, well, but you see, the Republicans have to win not 51% of the independent voters. We've got to win like 70 to 75% to make up for the deficit in party registration, assuming that people don't cross party lines. Now, the key, I think, for Republicans winning is attracting Democrats to cross over and vote for them. And there are many, many, many disaffected Democrats that I talk to that are very unhappy with the way the party is destroying the state. So I do think that we have a very good chance, but it's still too close to call. It's anybody's election. And whoever's at the top of the ticket is going to be key, because that affects everybody down ticket. And as you both know, there's no one who's an odds-on favorite who's running for governor right now.
That's
nobody
right.
in either party has an enormous advantage in name recognition or achievement or anything like that. There are definitely good candidates, don't get me wrong, but they're not well-known candidates to the electorate. And so it's going to be very key for whoever the parties nominate for them to get recognized by the public. And I think that's going to be a very big factor, especially in the close races. The top of the ticket can make the difference in the very close races.
Well, you know what, Senator? It comes down to the messaging. It really does. And the Republicans, in my opinion, have to play hardball, not only when it comes to tolls, when it comes to the Hartford bailout of over $500 million, and, by the way, hardball even to the point of tying the Democratic Party to stabbing Christopher Columbus in the back, because I'm starting to ask Democrats from outside of West Hartford, and they won't take a position on the fact that Christopher Columbus Day has been outlawed by the West Hartford Democrats and replaced by Indigenous People's Day. I mean, it's time to play hardball and get that message out if you want to attract some of the conservative Democrats to the Republican side.
Well, I'll say one thing, and the media hasn't been silent about what I'm going to say. There's a civil war going on inside the Democratic Party.
That's right.
In Connecticut.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're right.
You've got these extremists, these virtual, almost communists within the party who want to take control of it. And they're openly, I mean, I'm talking about openly challenging sitting Democrats because they're not liberal enough in their spending. So, and I'm talking about fellow members of the General Assembly are doing this, who are really way out there on the left wing of the party. There's going to be a fight for the soul of the Democratic Party. It's going on right now, and that could affect the results of this year's election.
And this could help us. And this could help us a lot, because it is going on.
But I fear too for the soul of the Democratic Party, because if these extremists win it, the party's going to become. It'll become the Working Families Party of Connecticut, which is the communist wing of the Democratic Party, basically.
No question. Senator, we're out of time. Thank you, and thanks for illuminating this toll issue.
Thank you.
Very, very important what you had to tell our audience today. Thank you, Senator.
I always enjoy it. Take care, guys. Have a great day.
You bet.
Too.
Yeah. Coming up to 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'll be back. Stay with us. More to come.